I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, broken data, bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad utter, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny appears to have stolen my satchel page of purple kush when she was drinking J-Mo over the weekend, and I didn't catch her in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up. Should be. All my friend Nick come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan. Should be shake out. Ooh. What's gigging is Farrell with your boy Carver High tonight. And we got a lot to do, but I will say it is bunk with no hockey and no NBA. You can't even deny it, Carver Hawk.
It feels weird, right?
It's the worst.
It feels really weird. We just had this run of the last like 6 weeks where we had basically hockey and NBA for a lot of it, not just at night, but during the day. Like, we had such a long stretch of craziness with those two sports. To have a night with neither of them playing, it does feel a little weird.
It's awful. So I want to tell you what I did instead.
What did you do?
You'll never guess. So I have to just tell you. Like, you couldn't guess if you tried.
I wouldn't guess.
Well, you've been on fire hitting games. So maybe you have some kind of like inside skinny. Maybe you have like, you know, maybe you're the grand poobah. Maybe you have special powers. Maybe you have a crystal ball. Maybe you're, you know what I mean? So when we come back, I'll tell you what I did tonight instead of watching hockey and NBA, which I watch every single night. Exciting what's happening here tonight on the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So, anyway, you know what I did? I had to find something to watch, right? And I got to tell you, it has become increasingly difficult to find anything to watch based on, how long has this been going on now? 7 months? So, didn't it start in like March?
Yeah, early March. So, yeah, we just crossed the 6 month boundary, I believe.
Well, it started in March, April, May, June, July, August. This would be the 7th month. So anyway, let's just pretend like it's 7 months. For 7 months, I have watched every single show in the history of Hulu, Netflix, and Prime. I've watched every show. There's nothing left. I've seen everything. There's literally nothing left for me to watch. So I've watched them all. And I had to really go fishing tonight to find something. And I was able to accommodate that necessity. I had a desire. I needed something to watch. I was watching the Dodger Padre game, and it was like heroin. I was literally, my eyes were closed. Each eye was closing at a different time. Like, you know, every 5 seconds, I was losing. I was ready to just keel over and die. So I ended up finding, which I enjoyed, I have to say, and I have a history with them, believe it or not. And I'll tell you what that history is. But I watched Jane's Addiction, a concert that they did at the Irvine Meadows in California when I think it was like the last concert ever at Irvine Meadows. I could be wrong, but it seemed like that's what it was. 25 years to the day, they did a show there at Lollapalooza. And then they brought him back to close the amphitheater. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it was. So anyway, it was like, you know, the whole band and with Peripheral, Perry Farrell. And it was a really good concert for being a bunch of old dudes, right? I mean, let's face it. They're like my age now. Navarro's not my age, but Perry Farrell is. And he was, I thought, really good. Now, the funny thing about it is that, I mean, they played all their greatest songs. And I think it was the album with, like, you know, 3 Days and Mountain and, you know, Classic Girl and all those songs. You know them, Carver High. And then Just Because, if I was you, I better watch out. When was the last time you did anything? That's right. So anyway, I saw the whole concert. I watched the whole thing. And then I brought back so many memories because I got to introduce Jane's Addiction at the Tony Hawk Stand Up for Skate Parks event in Beverly Hills at Ron Burkle's mansion back in the day in Lipstick City in Bev Hills, right? So I was the MC of the event, and it was crazy, dude. There was like 10,000 people there. It was insane. And I just remember it was just a wild party, right, in this guy's mansion in his backyard. And all the skateboarders were there. Every great skateboarder in history was there. Burkle gave me the gold penguin cufflinks from winning the Stanley Cup because he knew I was a Penguin fan. And I was the voice of the whole thing, the MC. And I got to introduce Jane's Addiction. And I got to meet them. And they came out on stage. And they did an hour show. They did a set. for like an hour. And then I did the event at the Wynn in Vegas. There were two events, one in Beverly Hills, one in Vegas. And the one in Vegas, I think it was the Killers or something, or maybe X. Was that a band? I think something called X or something like that.
Static X?
No, it was like some band. Maybe it was the Killers that I introduced. He always had really good bands play at his events, and I introduced Jane's Addiction, and they played it at Beverly Hills. Imagine being in a mansion in Beverly Hills in the backyard. They got a vert ramp set up, like a 40-foot vert ramp set up, and they got like rows and rows of like skateboards and memorabilia and like, I mean, Mario Lemieux stuff, Yager stuff, jerseys, hockey, pucks, signed, everything, because Burkle owned the Penguins. And then the rest of it was Tony Hawk stuff, like, you know, skateboards, video games. And then there was 10,000 kids there and skateboarders. And then people were skating up and down this vert ramp doing tricks. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jane's Addiction out of the back room and out into the backyard onto a very small stage. And they start shredding for an hour in the neighborhood in Beverly. I mean, just shredding. Marshall stacked the whole deal. They were just blowing out. And it was insane. It was great. And I just remembered, we got wasted. They had to carry me out of there. I was the MC, and I just remember somebody drove me back to my, I had some big ass hotel on Sunset Strip, and they drove me back to my hotel, and someone wheeled me up to my suite, and I passed out. But I had a good time, and I got to hang out with Jane's Addiction. So tonight I watched an old, I guess this concert was 4 years ago in 2016. It was right around the time of the election, and believe it or not, with, you know, Hillary against Trump. And they came out and raged in Irvine, and it was something else. They had like strippers on the stage. They had a chick swinging from ropes in the air with basically no clothes on. It was crazy. It was pretty crazy. And it was cool. And it was good. It was good concert, good music. I knew all the songs. I knew the band really well from, the 90s and stuff. And, I played a lot of that music on my show. So I've already gone down the litany of reasons why I can't cooperate with the way they run radio these days, that they have taken my music from me, that had, basically made me. The show was famous for its craziness and its music. And Pharrell on a Bench was notorious with this, skateboarders and surfers and, heavy metal. And that's how I got to meet Metallica and work with them and Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and Jane's Addiction. And they all knew me because I played cool music. And now I don't play any. And it's no big deal. I just don't want to kill myself. So whenever I get it, I mean, they really have ruined me. They've put me in the grave, money in the grave. But I wish I could play the music, and it makes the show 10 times better. And then, so I can't. So what I do is I listen to music, pretty much all day. I listen to it when I work out. I listen to it in my house. I shred. I play cool music around here, and I watch concerts if I can get my hands on them. I love everything, man. I love all kinds of music. Strangely enough, I've adapted through the years. I told you, like, back in those days, I was all about punk rock and heavy metal and alternative music like Jane's Addiction and stuff like that. And then And then certainly now I still like all that music, but I really like, strangely enough, I've told you, I like Kenny Chesney. I think he's great. I don't like country music at all, but I think that he's great. And his music is fun. It's like Caribbean. There's a lot of beach to it. There's a lot of tiki bars to it. There's a lot of, drinking, smoking, and getting some leg. And being out on the boat and fishing and smoking fatties, and his songs are, I think, a lot of fun. I think his channel's a lot of fun. The music that he likes, the musicians that he likes that he has on the channel are really good. So I like that music, and I like a lot of music, but I still like old stuff too. I've always been a huge Rolling Stones fan, but tonight I watched Jane's Addiction. Brought back a lot of memories, and I got to shred with Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro company. Later tonight, Joe Lisi will talk about the Big Ten and college football in the second on a bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so for On the Bench, somebody was asking me, they were telling me in the church that they listened to Metallica, Alice in Chains, Dead Kennedys, The Clash, Kid Rock, and the Misfits. Those are great bands, all of them. I and musicians. I think Kid Rock's good too, but I listened to when Black Gives Way to Blue, that Alice in Chains album all weekend. I just sat in the church that I drove around, and my buddy has an old totally mint condition CRX Cadillac convertible with a 4.4 liter turbocharged Corvette engine in it, and I mean this car hauls ass. I was doing a 120 in it. I mean, I'm not even kidding. And I was listening to Alice in Chains. I told you I was singing it on Coast to Coast. I sang Check My Brain. California's all right. Somebody check Pharrell's brain. Dun, 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 dun. And, you know, Your Decision, that's a great song. And then Voices, that's another great song. So I like Alice in Chains a lot, and I go way back to Layne Staley I'm talking about, but boy, did they get messed up. But, you know, they came back. I met Jerry Cantrell when I worked with Metallica on Acoustica in San Jose, the album. I'm the voice of the album. I hosted the show when they took calls from all over the world, and there was a lot of guys there. Jerry Cantrell, Gary Rossington, John Popper. There was just so many musicians in that room playing acoustic with Hetfield and Hammett and Lars and I think at the time it was Newstead was there.
Yeah, that was so Jason.
He was still in the band, and then I was the host of it. It was really cool. But that was the first time I met Jerry Cantrell, and that band changed a lot. I know you liked them at some point, didn't you, Carver High? Did you like Alice in Chains?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Layne Staley days when they were first out, their first three or four albums, big time. I haven't been caught on to them since, but their early stuff, whether it be Dirt or Jar of Flies, etc., outstanding records.
So what, because I can't remember. I don't have time to care. Whatever happened to that dude, Layne Staley? Did he die?
Correct. Drugs.
Heroin, right?
Maybe. I don't specifically remember which drug, but he had a drug problem.
Oh, he had a massive thing going on. I think several of them did. And I mean, drugs killed that band, basically. I mean, they partied their face off. And then they came back a few years ago, right? And they started playing again and with some different members in the band.
Yeah,
and I thought
Jerry's singing.
Well, I thought that Black Gives Way to Blue album was good. Did you like it?
Yes, I have it. It's a good record. I haven't listened to it in a while. I should give it another spin.
Oh, it's a good one. I was driving a buck and change, listening to it with the top down on Saturday. It was beautiful. Gunner had his confirmation at the church, and when that was over, I took this car out. Chop had never been in a convertible, so I drove it, and the thing has massive onions, so I just hit it. I was on the freeway just lighting it up with that top down, doing a buck and listening to Alice in Chains, keeping an eye in the rearview mirror for the popo, keeping an eye out for the our honor better, Romeo Whiskey Malvita, our honor, 1830 light ass. Runner, we got a Cadillac convertible. That is for real. Runner for Romeo. Anyway, the Dodgers won that game today over the Padres. I hit that bet, by the way. And then I took that Cardinals game with Wainwright in game one of the doubleheader. I hit that in terms of bets. I was winning with Miami. I know Martinez hit a big home run for the Red Sox, but it was still like 8-4 when I looked at it, and Miami was up. I want to check these scores.
Well, the Phillies just choked away their lead against the Mets. They've now lost. That's a final. They had a 4-1 lead on the Mets. They lose 5-4. Nice job by the Phillies tonight.
So they blew it, and they were up 5-1? Or wait, what'd you say?
4-1 they were up. They were up 4-1. DeGrom left the game after the second inning. He got hurt. Wheeler pitched into the eighth. A couple batters too many for him. And the Mets then win it with a run in the top of the ninth, and Diaz closed it out in the bottom of the ninth.
All right, so I hit both ends of the Cardinals-Brewers. Hit the Cardinals 4-2 in game one, Brewers 6-0 in game two. The Orioles evidently beat Cole Hamels tonight. That's what happened? Because he got lit up. Well, he must have got lit up. Hamels yields 3 runs in his debut, a 5-1 loss. He gave up 3 runs in the third, and that was it. He got the loss. So did I not call that today on Coast to Coast? I'm like, oh, God, here we go with this guy. They brought him out of the attic.
Yeah, he's going to be a big, big boost to them for the postseason. Remember that? I think that DeMino was telling you the other night. You know, they're really counting on him to give him something in the postseason.
Come on, he's shot. I won't deny the guy had a pretty good career, right? You can't argue.
Absolutely. That year the Phillies won the World Series. He was unbelievable that year. He was the World Series MVP, if I remember correctly.
So the Royals 4-0 over the Tigers, Mets 5-4 over the Phillies. The A's beat the Rockies 3-1. I hit that game. The Nationals over the Rays 4-2. Yankees again, they've scored 33 runs in 2 games. They won 13-2 tonight. What did they do in that game? Did they have a lot of they must have had a lot going.
Your boy Higashioka with a couple of home runs.
3 of them.
3 home runs. Oh, did he get a third? Third home run for 2?
And DJ LeMahieu hit 2.
What
Yankees
Judge do
7 home runs in the game. 13-2 they win. Garrett Cole 6-3. Are you happy now with Garrett Cole's turnaround?
Well, you got to remember something about Garrett Cole. Okay, things are going to get really magnified here because it's only 60 games and the season started, you know, basically last week of July, first week of August. You know, normally a guy pitches, you know, he starts in early April and he's going to make 30 plus starts. And that rough patch that he had would have happened in a normal season, let's say early May, and you would have had plenty of time for him to work out of it. The problem is that the pressure gets ratcheted up because you only have 60 games. Guys can't afford, especially guys you just gave big money to have a couple of bad starts, and that's what he had. Now he's pitched really well 2 times in a row. He had a no-hitter going into the sixth before giving up that run. Pitched good again tonight. A lot of strikeouts, and everybody seems to be getting going for the Yankees with a couple weeks to go here before the playoffs, so they needed that.
8 strikeouts for Cole, 1 earned run. By the way, your boy Aaron Judge, 0-for-4 tonight in his return to the lineup after missing the whole season.
And here's another one. Why do they hit? And they get so wrapped up in lefty-righty garbage. You got Aaron Hicks hitting 3rd tonight in that lineup.
He's hitting 4th.
Was it 4th tonight that he hit? He hit 4th tonight?
Yeah.
Maybe 3rd or 4th, whatever it was. Like,
He was batting cleanup with his 212 average.
He stinks. He's just awful. Clint with another
Every time I see him, I cringe. I don't even care if he hits like a home run in the playoffs either. He sucks. He is terrible. Stop with this Aaron Hicks BS. I can't take it anymore. Let's just, you know, can we just admit he's terrible? I mean, I'm done being nice. I'm done with it. You suck. Get rid of him. He never does anything. They paid him $80 million to hit 200. Can you imagine? Like, I can't even, you know what? If you hit 200 and you're being paid that much money, you should have to give it back. That should be a part of the contract, a clause that says, if you suck, you give it all back. I mean, honestly, he should be paid the league minimum for his hack ass. And then another one, I can't, you know, we've already gone down the list. Sanchez hitting 134. And then they're not even playing Gardner. He's another one that can't do it anymore. He's done. Is this not writing on the wall time for Guardy Party? Finished.
It's like Sebastian last year. They went a year too long with him. They didn't need to go another year. There was no reason to. But now at least they're playing Clint every day in left field. Because Clint is, I mean, he's ridiculous. Another homer tonight for him. He's great.
Two for three with another one tonight. And then you know who else hit a home run again was Voit. Voit hits a home run every night now.
He's had a good season for them. He was the only guy hitting during that losing streak.
Wasn't he like playing?
Well,
for
him
the
and him and Clint. Him and Clint were the only two guys. Yes, he was doing nothing for the Cardinals.
But can you believe what he's turned into for the Yankees? I got a zit on my kneecap. Have you ever had a zit on your kneecap?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember a situation like that that I've had.
It's literally, it's a gigantic white cap, like, you know, ready to blow. It's just as tight as ever. It's like a nail, and it's so enormous. You know, if I get them ever, you know, rarely do I get them. Let's just knock on wood. I'm not a zit guy. But I got like a, you know, I play so much basketball that I sweat, right? Like a fiend. And so I obviously got like a zit from sweating or something, right? On my kneecap of all places. So it's like really tight. It's right on the top of my kneecap. And it's just enormous. This zit. It's unbelievable. I wish I could show it on the camera, but I don't think it would work. I'd have to get up. I might fall over if I tried to hold my knee up to the camera. But what would be great is if, have you ever seen the show Dr. Pimple Popper? You've never seen that show? They got these people on there that just pop zits and just gush that oozing, you know, action everywhere. But Chopper loves to pop my back zits if I get them from basketball. She'll spend like a half hour cranking my zits on my back. All right, for all in events, what do you think happened there, Carver High?
I don't know. Hopefully nothing bad.
Well, getting back to the news that matters, I did pop the zit.
Good job.
And I was able to, it bled profusely. And then I was able to, I will say that it turned black and blue in a hurry. It did not like, you know, bleed and turn red or, you know, be like a, if you pop a zit like on your face or something, it's usually, you know, like, it's like red and bloody. This is like black and blue. It just immediately turned like purple, like completely black. So it looks like I have a, it looks like I have like a black Sharpie mark on my kneecap. It immediately went black and blue because I'd had enough of it. The thing was the size of a dime. And I just said, you know what? Watch this. Whap! And I cranked it and it just popped. And that was all she wrote. And I cleaned it up and now it's black and blue. But speaking of blue turns to black or whatever the name of the Alice in Chains album was, black turns to blue or whatever it is. That's what I just did to my knee in honor of Alice in Chains. How do you like them apples? All right, so you never told me, really, you never had a chance today to talk to me. And we're going to talk to Joe Lisi about the Big Ten and about college football and this week's games and everything. We'll talk about that with him. So you never really, you got to talk to me for a couple minutes about the Islanders and how they won that game. I never got to tell you that I thought that Varlamov's dive slide was one of the great moments in NHL history, because I have never seen a goalie go into a full-on slip-and-slide dive. I've never seen a goalie do that before. He just ran, he skated like as fast as he could, and then he dove on the ice, and he slid for like 40 feet. And it was a beautiful moment in NHL lore.
It really was. All the emotion there after the Eberle goal, and he comes with the belly flop halfway across the ice. Good for them. Like I was saying earlier, they're a team that they have fought in these last four games in this series. They've split them 2-2. I really wish that they didn't get hosed in that first game with the scheduling, but it is what it is. You got to deal with it. Because they have not looked like that the rest of the series. You'll even admit that. That game one, the Islanders have not looked anything like that the rest of the time.
Well, they haven't. But, I mean, it's like you need a shrink for, like, getting over that. Like, you've been talking about that now to me for days.
It
like,
bothers
get over
me.
That.
It
I don't even remember. I don't even remember game one.
But here's what it comes down to. Here's what it comes
down
to tomorrow night.
They can't either. If they sit around worrying about game one, they're going to lose.
And they're not worried about that. Here's what it comes down to tomorrow night. They won last night, but they need to take some more chances and put some more pucks in the net. I don't think they're going to be able to play a game like that again and come out on top, because Tampa has too much skill that they will find ways to score. Varlamov might not make the same saves tomorrow night. They need to get some goals. Get up 2-0. That's what they need to do. You need to take a 2-goal lead. They need to play from ahead. If they get into a game like that, I think it could be trouble for them.
So, I brought this up on Coast to Coast today, and I'll bring it up again to you. I watched the game, right? And I was rooting for your team, because I'm a loyal friend that roots for my buddy's team when my team has been eliminated, unlike you. See that evil laugh? People just heard it. That was an evil laugh. So anyway, here's the deal. I'm watching a game, and I'm thinking to myself, even though I bet on Tampa, doesn't mean I was rooting for him. I just bet on him. Rooting with the heart and betting are two different islands in the Caribbean, okay? And the one with the money on it is the one where there's no heart involved. So, and that's where the big boat is, not the little dinghy. The little dinghy it had my heart on it, and I was over there rooting for you. But here's the deal. When they played the first and second overtimes, first of all, the four-minute high stick bleed was just unbelievable. A minute 10 or whatever in the third,
yeah.
and then you play the first 3 minutes of the overtime with shorthanded against the best power play in the league. I don't think there's a – Dennis Bernstein said it on the show today. There's not a person in the world that didn't think they were going to score.
I thought the game was over.
I'm sure you probably did. But here's the thing. I just felt like in the overtime, like I did not think they had a good power play at all in either the end of the third or in the 3 minutes. I thought the Islanders just shut them down. And then there was a moment in the overtime that I remember specifically where – Anders Lee, I believe, is that who it was that had no stick? He broke his stick?
For about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
For 90 minutes, the guy skated around with nothing but his skates as a deterrent. And it was pathetic because Tampa, in that moment of 90 seconds to 2 minutes, literally, and there was no advantage. It was 5-on-5. But it was like being on a power play because one guy had no stick and he couldn't go to the bench. And they kept the puck in the zone for 2 minutes, and they literally didn't get one shot off.
Nope.
I couldn't believe it. How do you not get a shot off with a guy that doesn't have a stick? They just kept passing it around, and they never shot it. But that's not my point. The point is that the remainder of the game in overtime and the second overtime, they had at least seven chances. I can count on two hands how many chances they had to score. I mean, they had some great chances. One of the pucks bounced over Varlamov and was laying on the ice behind him. Between his skate and the goal. And it did not go in. It just sat in a sludge puddle, and they never poked it in. And the guy was skating up. I think Kucherov was skating up to poke it in, and he got I think Varlamov or someone got a leg on it at the last second.
Yeah, and Pulak did, I think. I think it was Pulak that got his leg on it.
Okay, so that was just – that's my point. Like, they had seven chances to score. And I thought the Islanders had one chance to score. I think it was Barzal or whatever.
The Barzal play where he kind of got the pass when he was breaking in, and he didn't, and he just couldn't get it high enough on Vasilevsky.
He couldn't get it up. Anyway, the guy he couldn't get the shot up in the air. He couldn't make a play. But I thought they had one chance to their seven.
No, you're right. The Lightning had more opportunities in both of the overtimes to get it done, but they didn't have an opportunity like a mistake like what the Islanders won on. You know, it wasn't a lot of two-on-ones or a breakaway or things like that. They had really strong opportunities, but the Islanders then finally got, you know, that chance. That two-on-one, you're getting absolutely nothing offensively. You have to bury that, and that's how you win a game, a double overtime game like that. You have to capitalize on the mistakes. And the great pass from Lee to get it across to Eberle there. He had the man on him. I didn't think he was going to get it across. I knew he was going to try pass it, but it was a perfect pass, and Eberle took care of it. Beauty goal.
That was a great shot. Funny, Bernstein mentioned it to us today, that it was like the guy played in Edmonton. He never had a goal that day.
Yeah.
So he had the best goal of his life with the Islanders in Edmonton in the bubble.
Yeah.
So if you were to, let me look at this. When is the draft? Didn't you give me some dates?
Yeah, October 6th is the draft. I mean, the draft is coming up in a couple of weeks here.
Okay, so they're going to draft in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like 4 weeks, something like that.
This thing's over soon.
Right. And then when it's, when it's after the draft, how long is it? Do you know exactly when they're going to start the next season?
Well, yeah, they're doing the 6th and 7th is the draft of October, and then free agency starts Friday the 9th. If I had to guess, now Bettman, I think he's being probably a little too pie in the sky. I think that he wanted to start by mid-December. I don't think he's going to be that. That's very realistic. I think that if they can start New Year's Day, right about there, I think that that's what they should be shooting for. And then they still want to play 82 also. I think if he starts January 1st, he can get everything done by the end of July. And then he can get somewhat back onto a regular path.
Okay, wait. So are they going to play the season in normal fashion in the cities?
I don't know that yet. Not sure of that yet. Both ways. Yeah.
Well, there's no way they can have a bubble for the whole season.
No, it's very hard to do. They need to do something like MLB and the NFL are doing, where they're going to be traveling to these empty arenas and they're going to be playing there. Unless things obviously change in the next 3 or 4 months, who knows what's going to happen. But for now, I would think that they're going to go to what MLB's been doing and traveling around.
Well, what
I'm not saying
think's...
they'll be fans. I'm not saying they'll be fans yet, but they'll be doing that.
Well, what do you think's going to happen? Let's say fast forward to January 1st. What do you think the world's going to be like?
Oh, man. I don't know. I hope better.
It's really not that far away.
It's not. It's not that far away. It's 3 months away. Geez, I hope it's better. That's for sure. I don't want to hear any of this second wave stuff.
But
I don't need it.
But do you think there will be? Like, do you feel that when the fall is here, the fall is on Long Island and in Jersey and in New York City, in the morning it's cold.
Yeah.
So I know that, like, the next day, I think tomorrow or the next day, it's going to be decent in the daytime. You know, it's like 75 or something like that. But in the morning, it's cold. It's you know, it's school and it's fall and the leaves are falling and things like that. So where we live in New York City, whatever, it's starting to be fall. So what happens in the fall when it gets cold and then it starts raining in October, and it just rains every other day for like 24 or 48 hours. It's never nice. Like in October, November, forget it. It's so miserable here. It's just gray and grim, and it's the beginning of the hell. How many people do you think it's going to – you can't deny, because it's the cold and flu season. We have cold and flu every year in those months. What do you think it's going to be like to have cold, flu, and COVID?
Probably not ideal, that's for sure. I don't think it's going to be an ideal situation. I don't know. You hear so many different things from so many different people who think that they know what they're talking about. Some people tell you it's done. Some people tell you it's coming back stronger than before. You don't know who to believe, and that's the biggest part of the problem.
You don't seriously believe that it's over or done.
No, I don't seriously believe that, but there's people selling you that. I don't seriously believe it, but it's hard because you have so many people selling you so many different things that you don't know exactly what to believe.
I saw it. Did you see these idiots running through the Target store in Fort Lauderdale with no masks on? They had some. Did you see it?
I did see that. Yes, I did.
What do you think should happen to those people?
Just follow the rules. I just don't understand. Just follow the rules. What are we doing here?
I think they should have their ass beat. I think they should allow people to beat their ass when they come out of the store. They should be beaten to a pulp. How's that sound for the plan? You don't wear a mask, you get popped in the mouth. The White Sox are losing to the Twins tonight. I'm watching the game right now. It's awful. It's 5-1. And I was just noticing, they're in the bottom of the eighth in Chicago. And I was noticing how boring the game is. I mean, honestly, it's so bad. Like, I have to tell you, like, give me like baseball playoffs or, you know, nothing at all. Now I changed the channel. I got Cleveland and the Cubs going now on the north side of Chicago. It's 2-2 in the ninth. And, you know, it looks like a better game. I have tried to watch baseball all night. I'm just being honest. I tried to watch the Dodgers-Padres, and I like the Padres. All right. So anyway, where was I, Carver High? We're having nothing but problems now all of a sudden. It's a disaster. You knew that was going to happen, right? We'll be lucky. We'll be lucky if we get through this one tonight. Anyway, I forget what I was talking about there for a second. I mean, once the disaster came into play, I had to just completely lost my train of thought. So, So I was watching the Padres, and I like them a lot. But I think, you know, I'm watching the Dodger game. The Dodgers were kicking their ass, and I was like bored to death. And then I started watching the Jane's Addiction concert, and then I came in here to do the show, and I turned on a couple baseball games, and I flicked through the channels. I eventually found the White Sox game, and it was like I've had more fun in a dentist chair than watching the game. So now I've turned on the Cub game, and I'm trying to get involved in this now, and it's 2-2, and I want to gouge my eyes out. I'm just like, give me the playoffs or give me death. I just can't get into the baseball. I don't know what it is, man. Later in life, I am losing interest in baseball. I like betting on it, and I'm good at it. But watching it is like, honestly.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moral. Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.